Slava Iisusu Christu. Please be seated or stand. Lulia Andrei, we are here to celebrate something that everyone believes in and no one has ever seen. Love is one of those beautiful things that is repeated in song and poetry, in verse and in rhyme, in novels and in literature and music and all types of art. But no one has ever seen it. Can anyone give you a half a pound of love, a quart, an ounce? Love is one of those things that you have to take on faith. How beautiful the first time someone spoke to us the words, "I love you." And we believed them. And when we said, "I love you too," they believed us. Love is impossible by faith. And it is one of the most vulnerable positions you can be in. Because every day you have to wonder and ask, does he love me? Does she love me? It's not an emotion. It's not a kind deed. It's not even a thought. But it's the profoundest of choices that we confirm and commit to every day. I love you today and the next day, and I will continue to do this. When I joke with young children about that, I say, God is like love. Imagine if you didn't have to ask someone if they loved you, you could see it on their forehead, and you go, "Oh, you love me." Says, "No, that's just a pimple." Imagine if it was that easy. But it's not, and it doesn't make it any less beautiful, desirable, and it makes us swoon and sigh and realize the beauty of who we are. We have this beautiful setting and this beautiful ceremony and these beautiful families and a wonderful, beautiful choir. And the only priest you could afford. Because this is us saying, Yulia, Andrei, this is how important you are to the church. Jesus had a beautiful saying, what good is it if you gain the whole world and lose yourself in the process? What can you give in exchange for your soul, for yourself? Nothing. You are worth more than the entire universe. That is what the church preaches today. By us gathering and confirming your faith in each other and in our God. That he will give you both the courage and strength to take care of this gentle, fragile, and beautiful commitment that you have both made to each other. People will give you much advice. The choir asked earlier, will the sermon be long? Says, I don't know, I haven't given it yet. But I have a couple of things that older people have told me who have been married many years. First of all, they're exhausted. But often you hear people say, oh, that couple has trouble. They always argue. I don't think so. People have trouble when they don't know how to argue. In classical logic, there are two ways of arguing a position. The first one is ad rem, to the issue. Argue the issue. Should we move? Should we buy a new house, a new car? And we talk about that. The second is not an argument at all. It's an attack on the person. You look ugly today anyway. I hate you, I hate your shoes, and you smell terrible. That is not an argument. That is a fight. That is an attack. That is a cheap shot. When you get over an issue in your marriage, try not to bring it up again. Because whatever you were guilty in the past, you will be guilty for the rest of your life. It's a cheap shot. I remember March 10th, 2019, at 3 o'clock, you said or did this. Guilty. And for the next century, just as guilty. Try to fight fair. Talk about issues because you want your marriage to be better. And often, the problem is not with the marriage. It's life. What you often will call marital problems, the people who aren't married call it life. Sickness, jobs, misunderstandings, lack of consideration, too much pressure, and a lot of other things. But one of the great things is that you have someone by your side who has said they love you and you believe them. One of my favorite prayers and my form of advice to you is this. In the liturgy, before we say the Our Father, we say that we might spend the rest of our life in peace and repentance. Now, repentance is a word like penance that is so misunderstood. People think I have to feel guilty. I have to feel bad. I have to feel and contort myself in all sorts of things because I did something bad. That is not the goal or the process of repentance. Repentance means, in spite of my past history, in spite of what I did wrong, I am sorry I let you down. And I will try one more time because you deserve a better husband and a better wife. Repentance is that beautiful process motivated by love, inspired by faith in God's grace that says, I will never settle for the dysfunctional me because you deserve a better person. And I will try one more time, not because I'm sorry I did something wrong, not because I feel guilty, because guilt is like pain. Do something about it or shut up. Because I love you. So spend the rest of your life in penance and repentance. Every time you see something in yourself you don't like, I'm going to surprise her today. I'm going to surprise him by being better. By not mentioning that. By not forgetting to mention this. By becoming a better person. You are always the primary gift in life. And I would like to finish up with what I said yesterday in the practice. The early Christians said life is fair because they said the goal of the Christian life is not to have good things happen to you, but for you to become good. So whether misfortune or great fortune strikes you, you are more important than anything that happens to you. And you ask yourself the question, how can I become a better person? And now, not just for me, but for my husband and for my wife. And no matter the joys that you celebrate, the hardships that you may endure, at the end of your life, you will see this Christian formula will ring true. You will always end up to be the person you have chosen to be. That is who you married today. That is what you care about. All those other things are important and they have your place. But none of them is as important as you continuing to give yourself to one another because you love each other and you believe in that love. So God bless you. My best to the family and to everyone as we continue our prayer today.